Brother Buster preached the other day, Monday afternoon. He preached a message on serving as Jesus served. I seem like I can't get away from it. And out of all the messages, I just can't get away from it. And I started pinning a few things down, and I'm really not even complete. I'm really not complete with it. But to be honest with you, I really don't even have a text verse, but I guess one of the best verses I can say is turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, yes, and sir. Verses 1 and 2 is where I end as you stand to your feet. Romans chapter number 12. Got a lot of verses, but it's probably one of my favorite verses. Because I tell you what, the greatest decision you'll ever make, I thought about this before I come up, the greatest decision you'll ever make is what you do with Christ. And whether you accept Him or reject Him. That's the greatest decision that any one of us will ever make in our life. I mean, many of you young people, soon you're going to be out of high school and be thinking about college and where are you going to go to a place of employment, who you're going to marry, what are you going to do on the next day, just all kinds of decisions. But the most important decision that each one of us is going to have to make is what we're going to do with Christ. Are we going to accept what He done for us at Calvary, or are we just going to reject that precious blood, reject the Son of God who gave His life for us? And then I truly believe, Brother Jackie, the next most important thing is just exactly what the Apostle Paul said after he got saved. He said, "Lord, what would that have me to do?"
Right.
I really believe. And all these earthly decisions that we make, all of them are important. I mean, we've all had to make decisions in our life, but I really truly believe the second most important is what we're going to do. What would that have me to do? To personally just surrender their life over to Christ. Get saved through conversion. The Apostle Paul, he got converted and then he was commissioned. He got saved and then he went to serve. And as I say, Jesus will show us an example. We'll see here just in a little bit. But I want to read this Romans chapter number 12 and I'll have you be seated. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore." I beseech you, I'm begging you, I'm encouraging you. Therefore, about what he's just said.
Yeah.
Brethren, of course, that's speaking to us in application, "by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Of course, in the Old Testament, most of y'all have heard this before. In the Old Testament, they used dead sacrifices. But we get into the New Testament economy, he's wanting a living sacrifice. Preacher Dunn has said it a while ago. God don't need me right here to present your body. Every one of us. If you're a part of the church, if you've been saved, and you're one of the brethren that the Apostle Paul is talking about, he's saying that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, there it is, holy, and may our lives be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Catch that word, service, which is your reasonable, that logical, that necessary service. What we really need in our life is to have reasonable service. And number two, and verse two, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you, may be seated. Father, in Jesus' name we come to you in prayer. Yeah. I want to thank you for another opportunity, Lord Jesus, to be able to stand in the pulpit here at RBT again and in front of my home folk and, Lord, my church, my people, my crowd, Lord. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you've done in the service thus far, the good Spirit of God. And, Lord, I'm praying, God, right now that you'll help us. Help us just to, Lord, if it's just laying groundwork, whatever you'd have me to do, Lord, just to give a little challenge to our hearts. In this matter of service, that's what you've called us to do, to be of service. Father, help us now as we try to deliver the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for RBT. Pray for our church. We ask God you'll help us as we go forward and upward for the glory of God. I love you now and I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I noticed, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter number 1, I noticed the Apostle Paul, and this is a few verses that I went through and kind of pinned down. I think it was either a Monday night or a Tuesday morning. But I noticed in verse number 1, the very first verse in Romans chapter number 1, it said, Paul a servant. Paul a servant of Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. Now, if you can turn real quick before I get there, Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 1. I'm looking at the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Timothy, or Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. All the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. And then in Titus chapter number 1. Again, if you turn quick. Titus chapter number 1. And again, the Apostle Paul, out of his, I believe, 14 books, three times it mentions, he starts off with talking about being a servant. And of course, in Philippians, talks about him and Timothy. But in verse number 1 of Titus chapter number 1, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. The three times, in these 14 books that the Apostle Paul, I believe, wrote, including Hebrews, he talks about him being a servant of Jesus Christ. And as we went back to Acts chapter number 9, I made reference to there just a little while ago when he said, Lord, I believe that's when he truly got saved, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now we are to ask ourselves, each and every one of us, from this podium all the way back in the sound room, when we get saved, that ought to be one of the first questions we find out, that we are to know the will of God for our life. And to get, when we find out the will of God for our life, Brother Randy, just get in the will of God and go all the way with it. It may, and that brings us back to the general and the will of God that Brother Barry was talking about. Just praying that general will of God. There's things that we don't have to pray about that we know's the will of God from simply reading the Word of God. Now we get that general will of God, and we get in it, and we keep doing it, and start being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Then it'll eventually get to where God will kick in a specific place that He wants you to do, or like be called to preach, be called to be a missionary, be a Sunday school teacher, whatever God was specifically have your life, just like a preacher here, as he's been here 20 years now in September, 20 years, that was a very specific will of God for him to be right here at Rogersville Baptist Temple. But Paul was a servant, a true servant of Jesus Christ, and what a servant he was. You're talking about a preacher. I don't know if I could have been able to handle it or not, but I'd really like to heard at least one message, that a real live message, him a preaching. Probably couldn't have handled it, and I probably would have went away whipped. But the servant of Jesus Christ, even James himself, talks about, there in the chapter number 1, talks about being a servant of God. In 2 Peter, Simon Peter, it says he's a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ. Even in Jude, verse 1, he's a servant of Jesus Christ. Right. Hey, if we used to put your name in this Word of God, can they say, Miss Debbie, a servant of God? Brother Tim, a servant of God? Well, I want that to be said about me. When you look at Brother Craig, I want you to be able to say, well, Brother Craig's a servant of God. He's just willing to serve, do whatever he needs to do for Jesus Christ. Here in just a little while, I'm going to take you away from Jesus, a servant of Jesus Christ is just serving each other, serving the church. And that's what I believe. Preacher, I really believe, after I heard Brother Buster the other day, I thought to myself, I believe that's where we're missing it in churches. We're just not being servants to each other. We're not being of service to each other. There's things in our lives, and I've already jumped ahead already, got you away from serving Jesus Christ. But one thing about it, I found that if you're a servant of Jesus Christ and you're serving Jesus Christ, doing the will of God, doing what Jesus wants you to do upwardly, hey, it's going to work on you outwardly. You serving Christ, you'll serve others. You'll be there. You'll be an important person. I want to get to the place not only as you look at me and say he's a servant of Jesus Christ, I want you to get to the place where, I know I've got a lot far from it, Brother Silas, that you can look at me and say, he's willing to just serve. He's just willing to be wherever he needs to be. Whether it's wiping off a table, whether it's dusting the piano off, or picking up a piece of paper. I mean, all that is just service for the Lord and a service for the church. Amen. Let me ask you, how many loves the Lord? Amen. This is not a trick question. How many loves the Lord? Amen, how many loves RBT? Amen. That's definitely not a trick question. How many loves each other at RBT? Amen. Amen. Maybe it was a trick question. We need to really serve each other. As you have, therefore, opportunity. Let me read that before I misquote it. But y'all need to see it. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I want you to turn. I want you to see it. Memorize this verse. Quote this verse. Read it. Put it over your bedpost or over the refrigerator. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men. God has saved us for good works. He wants us to be of service, whether it's witnessing, and I know I fail there, in other areas, to be of good works in giving, faith promise, or whatever. But as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That's just simple Christian people. But I would want to bring it down even more specifically of those of the household of faith. Us here at RBT, just being a servant and letting people look at your life and say, "That Brother Tim, well, whenever Brother Barry needs something to do, he's there. He's willing to be of service, to do something for a church, to do something for Jesus Christ, whatever it may be." Right. Just being of service. That's where I really believe that's an area that I'm failing in, and I believe we're seeing that it's failing here. Is being a true service. Well, I seen some things there this afternoon. I seen some things. Even going all the way back to the Old Testament. There was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And I have these verses down, but I won't read them. But in Deuteronomy, it talked about these men, thy servants. There's Moses, thy servant. Joshua, servant of the Lord. Caleb, my servant. Job, my servant. Isaiah, my servant. Even other prophets in Jeremiah, the prophets in Jeremiah, my servants. And then I mentioned something about the Apostle Paul. Servitude and servanthood is a big part of the means of a Christian life. Yes, sir. It's just service. Right. Being of service. Being what God called you to do. God, this is a big statement. God has saved us to serve. Amen. To serve God, and in return, because of our great motivation, right here, Brother Stallard, right here, the greatest motivation of service is love. Yes, sir. Right. You'll show how much you truly love God by serving Him. You'll see, and we'll show you how much you truly love your church. You raised your hand. Hey, you love your church? Hey, we'll find out how much you love your church when you serve RBT. And you serve this man of God. How much you really love this man of God. If we have you raise your hand, and I could do it boldly, and I could do it happily, and I could do it because I love this man of God. That's the reason if he says, Brother Craig, I want you to stand right here while I preach the whole message, hey, I would do it. I hope he wouldn't, but I would do it. Because I want to be of service in whatever God, because the Word of God wants me to be of service. And you go into Ephesians. You don't have to turn unless you just want to. I ain't even on my notes. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look here at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we quote that. We quote them two verses, but the key, one of the key verses is verse number 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, walking in the good works that God wants us to do in general will and in the specific will of God. and being about what God wants us to do. Even at 12 years old, when his parents had left and went a day's journey and come back, he said, "Wist not that I be about my Father's business." Jesus Christ himself. Because he knew he was sitting in the temple, he was learning, he was teaching those scribes and those men, those great teachers. He was trying to teach them some things. Boy, that's one that I want to teach me. If God himself, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, that he can teach me something, I want to learn it. And the way I'm going to learn, Brother David, is get in that Word of God and find out where I could be a better servant for the Lord, be a better service to my church, to be a better father to my family and my children, to be a better husband to my wife, to be a better church member, to be a better preacher. I can find out through Jesus Christ and through His Word in what kind of good works that I can do. Yeah. Got many that murmur and complain because they have to do something for God. Either a job that you really don't want to do. Well, you really love the church. You really love God, don't you? Go ahead and complain because of what little, maybe it's a little job. Maybe just a little something, and complain about it and murmur about it. But there, hey, what did it say there in Romans chapter number 12? "So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Just dedicating your life. Brother Barry was telling me, I think, yeah, it was Brother Barry, though, just telling us, as we went down to the meeting, he was talking about a lady, I think, what, she's 70 years old, you said? That had never surrendered her life fully to the Lord?
In her 70s, yeah.
In her 70s.
Been in church many years.
But, and I said, apparently, they must have been a failure somewhere in the church of not teaching the people. You know, and we've heard this. And all around this area, there's many good churches that you can get saved in.
Right.
Many.
Right.
I mean, the gospel will go forth.
Right.
The word will not return void.
Right.
You preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen, and coming again. I mean, hey, there's many churches around this area. These little country churches, they're good to get saved in. But far as teaching them and discipling them to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and find out what the good works is. Find out where we are to surrender our life. Find out what we can do for Christ. It ain't happening. I mean, I've heard them. They've got like five different points. They start with one subject, but they always say the same thing. I want to be a disciple of the Word of God. I want to be a student of the book. Oh, but getting in the service of the Lord,
yeah.
It takes obedience.
Yes, it does.
It takes obedience. Oh, and that's a scary word. I mean, you talk about being obedient to our children, and oh, it just tears them up. They don't want to obey. But God help us. We don't like to obey either. God wants us to do something, our flesh bucks up and said, "I just don't want to do it. I can't do it, Lord." God says, "Stand up and testify," or "Stand up and sing a song." Brother Robert Taylor, in his message yesterday morning, he was talking about the time he's sitting here on the front row and God told him to get up and sing. He never stood. He'd just gotten saved not long before that. God told him to stand up and sing. He argued with him. You know, God, I ain't never got up in front of people like that before. But praise God, how many, 17 years ago or later, well, he's standing in front of people.
Yeah.
And I really believe what helped him is the first time he was obedient to the will of God.
Amen.
That's the key, Miss June, is just being obedient to what God wants you to do. And it takes obedience to serve God. I guarantee when Paul said, "What would that have me to do?" And God told him, "Hey, yes, sir." One of the greatest preachers, probably the greatest preacher beside the Lord Jesus Christ that ever walked in I don't know, barefoot or whatever he wore back then. Sandals, that's good enough. Amen. It takes obedience. Well, you can go back to, let's go back. Exodus chapter number 21. There's, let me give you this little outline here. Before I will turn into Exodus chapter number 21, service. We've seen there in Romans chapter number 1 that service is reasonable. It's reasonable. God will always have you do something that's reasonable. I mean, He's not gonna allow you to do something He knows you can't do. At time, you may think it. That's what I was talking about there a while ago. It taking obedience. At that time, you say, there ain't no way. This thing ain't logical. There ain't something. You're not to it. I just can't do it. But it's a reasonable service. God, listen to me, and even young people, God's not going to ask you to do something that He's not going to put it in you to equip you with the Holy Spirit, that He's going to give you that grace. He's going to give you that help that you're going to need to do whatever He wants you to do. Just like He did with the Apostle Paul. Just like He did with all the men of God as we shared them. Names are just what I go. Boy, a service is reasonable. But then I thought of this verse, preacher, in Psalms chapter number 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, service. You can serve the Lord with rejoicing. How many times have we gone out, Brother Silas? They will go out visiting, have a good time visiting. I mean, the flesh will fight you. I know. I've been to that place so many times. And we're going out here to the nursing home. Flesh will fight you every time. I mean, it does me. Maybe I'm the only one that's weak as far as the flesh. But when you leave that place, when you come off the streets, when you give a tract. Now, I mean, you're afraid to give that track out to somebody or talk to somebody about the Lord. When you leave them and you walk away from that door, you walk away from the nursing home, walk away from doing obedience, that what God wants you to do as far as generally or maybe even specifically, hey, you can say, praise the Lord. I enjoyed that. You know, many times we go to be a blessing them and then they bless us and then we come back and say, man, I enjoyed the nursing home. That leads me to the third point, is rewarding. Hey, God will bless you. He's keeping the record. Everything that we do, everything that we do for the service of the Lord, God kept a record, trying to keep the church clean. And the times it was a blessing to me, maybe after the 4th of July or just different things, and as we dive down the road, said, well, there's some cans. I've got to get them out of the church yard and go pick them up. And then you pick it up and you say, it's a blessing just to be able to do something for Rogersville Baptist Temple, do something for God to keep the church yard clean, especially if it's one of them nasty beer cans. I mean, I know, you just never know what people think. Right there at RBT, there's a beer can right there in the middle of the yard. Could that be one of their members? You don't know what this world says. You don't know what they think. Pick it up. So it's rewarding. But you know, service has some relationships. Service is relational. And I've already touched on it. It's that relationship between you and the Lord, being a service between you and the Lord. And then you get the love between you and the Lord. You're going to want to love each other and do each other service, that horizontal relationship from vertical to horizontal, being of service, that household of faith. Amen. But I want to show you right here a relationship in Exodus chapter number 21. And we're talking about, and I'm still on this, being obedient. Look here, in Exodus chapter 21. Not there yet. Now, in verse number 1, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy, now listen to it, I want you to get this. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. In the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If the master have given him a wife, she born him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's. They are to stay, but the man, he shall go out by himself. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. Catch it? If thy servant shall plainly say, this is a servant, a relationship between a servant and a master. Now apply this. We are the servant, he's the master. And if thy servant, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. But through this he said, I love my wife, my children, I will not go out free. I want to stay with my master. The master's been good to me. And I'm adding stuff to this. My master's been good to me. He's taken care of me these 6 years. And I've got a wife, I've got children, raising them up under my master. I'm not going to leave. I want to serve my master till the day I die. Verse 6, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. He put a place in his ear, and he shall serve him forever. What a good application right here. This servant, he said, I love my master. I want to serve my master till the day I die forever. Now in application, you told me where to go with a raising of a hand. I love God. I love Jesus. He's our master. How much do you really love Him? Amen. That you can, with uplifted hands, you don't have to do it, but just with my uplifted hands, I say I love my master. I love my Lord. I love my Savior. I love my friend. I love Jesus Christ, that I want to serve Him till the day I die. And not give up. And not quit. There's no time to quit. Because sure as the world, and I've said it time and time and time again, the day that I quit, Jesus could come back right then and I would go into heaven out of the will of God, quitting on God, quitting on my family, quitting on my church. It takes obedience. He has love for his master that he was willing to obey his master. How much do you love God? I said motivation is love for service. The motivation for loving and serving each other is going to be love. How much you love your church? That's going to be a motivation for serving. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 9 and 10, it talks about, for you're bought with a price. Hey, you're not your own anymore. And so it pays to serve God. And I've told this before and I'll tell it again. The time in 1995, just come over 17 years of preaching. But that weekend, Brother Buster Seaton stood right here in this pulpit and he preached, it pays to serve the Lord. Oh, rewardings are heavenly. Rewards for doing service for God is out of this world, literally. We'll find out. We may get a few rewards down here. We may get credits down here. We may get a pat on the back every once in a while for things that we do. And somebody may come up and say, good preaching. Come up to pastor and say, boy, that was good preaching Monday night. Praise God, I finally got a short version of the 6 messages of commitment.
That's right.
I finally got to hear all of them. I hadn't got to hear one because of working. I got the shortened version. And it wasn't easy either. But just being of service for the Lord, it's rewarding. Doing something for God. Hey, you ought to try it sometime. That's like Mikey. Try it. You'll like it. Be of service for the Lord. You youngins ain't going to know what I just said right there. But you know, it also takes humility. It takes obedience. It also takes humility. Before I hit humility, I want to go to this one. It takes loyalty. Just being loyal. That's the way this servant was. He was just loyal to his master. And being there. What can Brother Barry say? So-and-so's a loyal member of RBT. You know, this man of God, he's going to give an account in heaven for the works he's done. But you know, I truly believe he's going to give an account of us. Can he stand before God and say, Boy, she was a loyal member. That's the way I want to be. I want him to look at me and say, well, and I wish I could be here more than I am. But to be a loyal member, be there when the doors is open. You know, clean the church. Whatever it takes. A clean up after, oh yeah, you're going to grumble and complain, but cleaning up. But I just wonder, that times you can murmur and complain, and God help me hear them, and times you murmur and complain about doing service for the Lord. You know, I truly believe, I don't know how right I am, but it's Craigology. God might wipe that reward away. There you go. I got the book on that one. But it takes humility. Turn to John chapter number 13. One of the greatest examples, and that deals with the example. The example of service is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our example. While you turn to Philippians chapter, or in John chapter number 13, let me turn over to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. I'm going to just start with verse number 1. Chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I kind of touched on some of this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, the old poem said, others, Lord, yes, others. May this my motto be, just putting others before yourself. We get the mindset, I've been there, we get the mindset. You remember when Brother Barry preached on me first? Yeah. Putting yourself first, that selfish attitude that we get sometimes. Say, I want to be first. It's just whatever I want, not what anybody else needs. But every man also on the things of others, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's where humility comes in. And become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue, it don't matter, saved or lost, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, I am of the belief, one of these days the devil himself will have to bow before Jesus Christ. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Before he goes to the pit of hell, I believe he's going to end up bowing before Christ and saying, you are Lord.
Yes. Thank God, that'll be wonderful.
Amen. And I'm going to be there.
Yeah,
in John chapter number 3, Brother Mark's been touching on it, dealing with this chapter, the example of Jesus Christ himself. Serving others by washing their feet, you can and you can read it. You know, there in verse number 7, Jesus says, "What I do, thou knowest not now; but thou shalt know hereafter." And then, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Peter was asking. I'm missing verse 5. After that, he poured a water basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. And cometh he to Simon Peter, and of course said, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" And you've studied this. We've studied it in Sunday school. Brother Mark's taught on it.
Yes, sir.
But just that example of Jesus Christ humbling himself. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ, if it would have been made, if it would have probably been me, and if I'd have been Christ, I wouldn't have wanted to come to this earth in a manger. I wouldn't have wanted to come to this earth just to a little family, little Mary and Joseph. I would have wanted to be born in a palace, to be built up in pride, be born in a nice crib. I wouldn't have wanted to die the death that Jesus Christ himself did, but he humbled himself. He was the great example. Of our Savior was the great example of not only obedience, but loyalty in humility. Be the servant of Jesus Christ. But he humbled himself. He came down. And he himself, he didn't have to do it. But I personally believe he was giving us an example by washing the disciples' feet. God himself became man. Brother Buster touched on this the other day. Said when he was preaching, said, God, 100% God, 100% man, came to this earth. He's the one that got down. Yes, he didn't say, Peter, wash my feet. But he himself, the exalted God, came down and he knelt before the disciples and became the example of humility and of being of service to those disciples, saying, this is the way I want you to do it. With humility and with love and obedience and loyalty of service. Right. And then after that humility, you know what happened to him after that? He got exalted himself. Went back to glory and sitting on high. They that humble himself will be exalted. Yep. Not in pride. Don't you take that humility and do it in a prideful, look at me. Look the way I humble myself. You know that old Greek word, hogiwashi, I've used before. Wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. God knows our motives. God knows why we do what we do. Well, I want to do it with love. I want to serve the Lord. We've been saved to serve. You know, I seen it the other day. Went by a church up in the Church Hill area. And you go into the parking lot, said enter to worship. You go to the back and you go out of the parking lot, said exit to serve. That's the way it ought to be. Come into this house of God just to get around the things of God, get instructions, get taught some things that'll help us when we go out to serve, that we could be a better servant for God. Amen. Well, let's learn the example. I mean, we don't have no better example than Jesus Christ. Yes, I mean, we learn from the Apostle Paul, and he was a good example. Yes, half of Peter's life. Yeah. You know, and John, all these Old Testament saints, many of them was good examples of things that they were obedient with. But there's no greater example. You know, I'd like to be that earthly example. I want to be an earthly example. And how do you feel about that? Just being a good earthly example. Moms and dads, may we be an example of service to our kids. You know, I've told Kate many times, I said, that's the reason I have kids. That's the reason I had kids, just do what I want to do. If I don't want to get up off the recliner and go get me a drink out of the refrigerator, I holler at Kaylee. I don't care if she is upstairs in the bed covered up and got her iPhones listening to good gospel music in her head. Praise God. But, you know, I'm done, really, I am. But it's bad when you have to text your daughter to come downstairs. Thank you, preacher.